I'm told the number one fear people have is speaking in public. It's the one fear I don't have. Join me for the Love Speak series, where we leave fear behind and we speak love. Loving our story, loving speaking, doing what we love, loving each other, and loving ourselves. Our stories are what connect us and make us better humans. So join me and my Love Speaks friends for some stories, some laughs, some inspiration, some speaker tips, and some unexpected truth. It's the Love Speaks series, where a little bit of love goes a long way.
Welcome to the Love Speaks series. Here's your host, Sally Lou Loveman.
Hello, everybody. I am so happy to be here today. In the house are my three children. I pretty much dragged them here. So I'll just say this. By the end of this podcast, there is one of the three who came willingly. Two of the three kind of came with a forced hand. So you make that decision as to who you think those two forced hands are. But here's what they all did. They accepted my invitation because they know that the Love Speaks mantra, accept invitations from your mother or anyone who loves or likes you, is a must. So they're here today. Everybody give a round of applause for my children. We are speaking my children, Maren, Carly, and Billy Loveman. Woo!
Hi, Mom.
Hi, hello. Car. Hi, Mare.
Hello.
Hi, William.
Hello.
So my kids are in the same city, which is Chicago, with me today. And I said, hey, wouldn't that be awesome if we went and saw Jeremy at Mystery Street Recording Company and recorded a podcast? And they all said the same thing. Mom, why? And they said, you have people that talk about things that they're, you know, they're experts on. And we're not experts. And I said, you know what? I think you are. First of all, you're experts at being my child. But second of all, you are experts at being who you are. And I think that that is the reason why you're here today, besides the fact that I made you come. So basically, what I want to ask you all is the first question I ask my podcast. Look, Maren's peeking on my notes. The first question that I ask my guest, how is love speaking to you today? Billy?
I guess I'll go first. My name is Billy. I attend Northwestern University. And there I study radio, television, film, where I feel like I am pursuing my passion. I've been interested in filmmaking since I was four, thanks to being in an environment like Harpo Studios with my mom at a young age. I'm not sure if that was the direct influence, but I think that over time I've become more and more interested in that field. I also do a lot of theater there as well, which is something that I'm interested in. But I'd say, I love singing. I love performing.
You do. But how is love speaking to you today?
You have a lot of passion today.
Yeah. How is love speaking to me today?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
like, how's love speaking to you today? But I love that you gave that background, because I want to hear the background.
That's his love.
That's my love speaks.
Okay. That's your love speaks.
He's done. He can go home.
You're done.
Thank you.
Check. Good job. Okay, but like today, like being here with your sisters, your mom, your grandmother who happens to be in the room, like
in this instant,
in your moment, in the moment.
So not generally.
In this moment today.
In this moment.
That's why the word was today.
Well, I feel, you know what, I'm going to say something that I said to, a friend of mine a couple days ago that I think that this is definitely a personal thing. I'm not sure if it's a direct answer to the question, but I think that, I think our family is very, very loving. And as the youngest child of that family and of my, of my cousins and whatnot, I've been a little bit more like, I'm going to say naive, just because I've been inherently a lot younger than everyone else and thus also like a little bit more immature. And I think in recent years, when I've had these sort of like family where I've had these moments of spending time with family, whether it be through Christmas or breaks or whatnot, right. I feel like I'm having a lot more gratitude for family in general.
I feel that.
With just being just growing in maturity or just getting older or whatnot. But I think I just have a lot more of an appreciation
stop
for the value.
Stop saying whatnot.
Mm-hmm. The whatnot is going to get me.
Yeah, stop okay. saying whatnot.
Well, I didn't notice it.
All millennials, no edits. All Sorry, millennials listening, no whatnot. It means nothing. Okay, go
I
on.
Didn't notice
I
it.
I didn't even, That's I might have said it twice.
Three times, but we're not counting.
Okay. okay. But you
you're
obviously,
still doing
can
a good
I just
job.
Say,
I
you're
wish you didn't,
such
I wish
a
you didn't interrupt
job.
Me in the middle of
I know.
What I was
this
trying
is,
to yeah, say.
Sneak peek into my life. And Billy's, I should say. This is who we are. Billy, I heard you and I love what you're saying. And what I will say is that at Christmas time, this past Christmas, Billy and I were both in my sister's yoga room where we sleep. And he was laying down and I said, do you ever just feel like so grateful that you have this family? And he looked at me, goes all the time. And I thought that was really beautiful.
That.
Really beautiful. Okay. So I will just say this about Billy Loveman, because this is where we started, and he just gave you guys all a background on who he is and what he is. He said to me at 4 years old, Mom, I want to be the guy who punches the buttons to make television shows when I grow up. And when I tell you, I had not taken him to the Oprah Winfrey Show because he was 4 years old when I went back full time. He had not been on the set. This is running through your veins, your bloodstream, your DNA. Whether it comes from me, I don't know. But you knew at a very early age, you started to make iMovies. You were always in costume. You were always presenting some story.
Making movie trailers.
Making
oh, yeah,
movie
the
trailers.
The movie trailers were so good.
Yeah. And now here you are, a film major at Northwestern. You were at Syracuse in the Newhouse School, transferred to Northwestern. I think your talent, which we'll get to in a second, is knowing where to be on a stage. And whether that means as a director or an actor, and even sometimes an audience member, that to me is your passion. And I think it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Billy.
So this
Please
is how my love speaks is talking
back
to me
to
today.
Us.
And
All
I
right.
don't care.
Carly Loveman. How's your love speaking today, Car?
Well, you kind of took it because my love speaks, or how love is speaking to me today is because we're all together and we get to be in one under one roof, which doesn't happen all the time, even
right.
though Marin and I are under one roof now.
Yeah, Marin and Carly live together in New York City, which is super cool.
We hadn't spent that time together in a while, especially at home, what, like 6 months or mm-hmm. even more than that, I think, since April. So
it's okay. So go on.
So I think that love is speaking to me today because we get to all be together. And that's what's most important to me all the time is family.
Right. Okay. Mayor?
Well, everyone has taken everything, so I can't go last again.
Okay, we'll
but
start with
I don't
want
to go first either.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
I'm going to show myself out. No, I agree with Carly and Billy, too. And I'll just add on to that, being with family, of course, but being there's something about being home that always feels really nice, and I think even more so when you don't get a home as often.
Yeah.
It makes it feel really special, and you just feel like you're in your place. It's comfortable, and and it's nice to be around family and friends and in that area.
And that's interesting because you talk about home, and home for you three and me is Chicago. We spend a lot of time on the East Coast. You two live on the East Coast. Billy's here in Chicago for school. We have all of our family is on the East Coast, like everyone. And so there's a huge pull for us there. But home isn't just about where you're from. It's about what feels good to you. And I talk about that a lot in my work. And like for me, home is a television studio. And home for me today is in this podcast studio. I love being in production in any way, shape, or form. So I believe that when we use our talents in an environment that pleases all five of our senses, Carly's mouthing it because she's heard it a million times, that becomes home. And when we can find things that feel like home to us, it never feels like working. So I want to ask you each what your talent is. But instead of that, because I think that neither one of all of you will be comfortable saying what your talent is, I want to ask you to tell the person next to you what their talent is. So we'll go around. Marin, tell Billy what you think his talent is.
Billy.
You want to go first?
Well, yeah, thanks. Billy, well, this is a hard question, honestly, because Billy is so talented, one of the most talented people and passionate people that I know, which is pretty incredible from his young age. But I think he's super creative and just has this vision for all things to, I can't think of the words, theater, film, and singing and a cappella. And you're just constantly being creative and for lack of a better word, creating things constantly, which I think is
content.
Yeah, content. Always more content. But not in that way, but just for himself, just because that's how he functions and he is super creative. So I think to narrow it down, it's really just having a creative vision that you are super passionate about and put the work in and work on things constantly until you've created something that you're proud of. And I think that's really awesome.
Cool. All right, Billy to Carly.
So nervous.
I'm going to say something that you may not agree with completely, but I think you are an organized person in certain ways. I think it can both be a negative and a positive attribute of yours, because sometimes your organization can be a little bit neurotic and like, okay. Sorry.
Who are you talking about? Are you sure you're not talking about Marin?
I was going to say Marin is organized. I would never describe myself as an organized person.
Well, let him speak. Let him speak.
I just think in certain ways it makes you a little crazy, but it makes you crazy in a good way. And I think you know what you need to do and maybe not necessarily how to get it done, but you know that it in a way that it needs to be shaped, whether it's through, you know, your job at Tamron Hall or whether it's with a puzzle or just whatnot. It's like, you know, the little things or the big things. It's just like I think you're organized with knowing what the next step is. Maybe not necessarily how to execute it. I think that's something you struggle with. But I think you know where to go next.
I agree.
That's interesting. I kind of agree with that.
I agree with you. And you're a very big list maker. And you always seem to have a backup plan, which I really also think is a talent. So I agree with Billy. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Carcar for Marin.
Well, I was going to say that you're organized, but way more organized than I am. But I think your talent is... I feel like you're the one who's keeping it together. Like, you're good at taking on a role of
leadership.
Yeah, like you're the oldest sister. You're the oldest child, and I think you're also a really good sister. But I think that you have a way of just like taking on that role and doing what you, I don't know.
I know what you mean. I don't know if it's leadership necessarily, but it's like, it's...
But I'm trying to think of like her specific talent. It's just like her being married.
She has, her being married. She has a very good sense of making people feel welcome, at home, mm-hmm. and very kind.
And she's very calm in her process of doing
well, thanks,
it.
Thanks, guys.
I think she knows what's right and wrong, you know?
Definitely.
I think she's
good.
She
moral
a good
compass.
Yeah.
Very good moral
too
compass. And you get a bully
too
near her, and you better watch out, bully. Bully going down. And she will not stand for anyone being
that's
bullied.
But can I finish? I just think out of like Billy and I, we can be a little sporadic.
They can be bullies.
No, but I just feel like Marin's always just there, kind of like, okay,
sweet
come
Marin.
On, guys, let's go.
My daddy called you Sparrow because you were just like this little sweet little bird that sometimes got a little weak, but you know, was always there. So little Sparrow.
Just
there.
She's always there getting
she's
buried
there.
In the sand
she's
as a child.
Good
you're, well, good, you're a good one. Listen, the greatest gift that a mother could ever ask for is for her children to love each other. And you all love each other so deeply. And I'm so grateful for that. I didn't give you intros because you told me you weren't experts. But if I were to give your intro now, I would tell you that Marin Loveman works at NBC in New York. She was an NBC page, which was my dream. And then she took it from me. No, I'm kidding. She became the NBC page. And with that, took off at NBC, has such a community of cool, talented creative people. And now she is with the network doing integrative marketing and brand partnership for the network and working on very cool shows like America's Got Talent and This Is Us and Songland, my favorite.
Not This Is Us, but no, you were really close. Yeah, Billy, that's the competition.
That's okay.
thank you. I'm shocked that you got that right.
Yeah. And Maren and I. Oh, yeah. You
rest of my team does.
Yeah. Okay.
She's a very good assistant.
You would be the best executive assistant. And Maren said to me when she graduated from Vanderbilt University, is it okay, Mom? Like, is that enough? Like, can I just be an executive assistant for the rest of my life? Yes, you damn can. There are people that make a coin with that. Mm-hmm. And you would be so good. That's not what she's doing now, but it could be your future. So all CEOs listening, Maren Loveman would be the best executive assistant, but also a pretty cool marketing person as well. Executive.
Thank you.
And Carly Loveman works. Well, she went to college. Maren went to Vanderbilt. So she introduced us to Nashville. Carly wanted to go to Vanderbilt and then ended up going my college, Lafayette College, which is so beautiful.
Best
wonderful.
Decision of my life.
Thank you. I told you. But anyway, and then when she graduated, she got a job in Nashville, which took us back to Nashville. And she worked for the show Pickler and Ben, which was produced by all of my friends at formerly from the Oprah Winfrey Show. So she got to keep doing what she loves in television studios. It made my heart sing. And then she got a job in New York. I can't say New York anymore. Billy, be Will Ferrell for 1 second.
Anyways, it's so great to be hacking New Blork. I mean, New York, New York,
New York, York, New York,
New York.
Got milk. Put in your podcast
speak
notes.
TSA
Will Ferrell's monologue. In
Will
SNL.
Ferrell's monologue makes me so happy on Saturday Night Live. And
Will Ferrell's monologue ruined my intro.
Sorry. All right, back to Carly.
Just because he talks about New York and she lives in New York.
I got promoted. Come on, Mom.
You got
my story.
She works at Tamron Hall, which is which just got renewed for a second season. I worked on the pilot, so I know a lot of the people there, and I've worked with Tamron, and she's quite a talent. And Tammy, no, you don't call her Tammy.
I'm kidding.
But love her. Love that Carly is working at ABC. Maren's at NBC. Carly and Maren still talk because they are roommates, but they can't talk shop. Billy Loveman is at Northwestern, junior, and is studying radio, TV, film, like he said, and wants to be a film director one day. So that's what
still,
you got.
Still figuring it out. I'm not really sure anymore, honestly.
Okay.
Let's unpack that. You know, I don't know. I just feel like I think I was confident for a long time that that's exactly what I wanted to do, but I'm still figuring it out. And I think I'm a little bit, I'm totally okay with this, but I think at this point in my life, I think I'm the most uncertain about what exactly I want to do than I ever have
in
my entire life.
That's where it all happens.
Well, because it's kind of crazy. I've never known anyone who knew. Yeah. I have air quotes up. That's what I was saying. Who knew exactly what they wanted to do at such a young age. I've never known that, which is...
He knew it at four. I knew it at 14. And I always wonder, like, did that freak you guys out? Like, oh, I'm 14 and I don't know what I want to do.
I think it's like I think when you get into that mindset of thinking that you want to do something necessarily, it might lead you on a good path to something else or towards the path and the path that's going to lead you to whatever you say you want to actually do. But I think... like you can say that for as many years as you want, you know, but then you get to a certain point and then you have to be a little bit more either realistic or like see what you change, obviously.
Yes.
And like obviously college has been a very it's been a very chaotic time in my life, and I'm doing a lot of amazing things and I'm just trying to figure it all out.
Well,
I'm also just like heading into the industry in a few years and I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like.
What's really cool is that at Northwestern, it's sort of like you are a kid in a candy store because there are so many things you can do, and you're doing leadership things and you're doing creative things and you're producing, you're directing, you're singing, you're acting, you're
showing us
as
all
great
up.
As
shooting.
That, as great as being in Northwestern is for those things, for things like that, it also probably has made it harder for me to actually think about what I want to do because I have so many interests and so many things I can actually pursue at Northwestern.
I wish you could go another year. I wish you could like be...
I mean,
an extra year.
Fifth year.
I don't want to pay for that.
I don't think I want that.
I really wish you could.
I'm not going to grad school.
Well, I'm really proud of you. And how cool is it that you go to the school that your dad went to, which growing up, you know, Northwestern's down the street from us. And growing up, I remember Carly, probably Marin too, always saying, Billy, this is the school you should go to. And then you... I don't remember that at all.
I don't either. So it's definitely not me.
It was me.
Yeah. And then you got in the Cherubs program and we're like, oh, he's going to get in. And then there was no way you were going to get in.
I remember looking online for five minutes and seeing the ACT requirements and everything. I literally remember this. I looked at it for 5 minutes online and I was like, nope, not happening.
Isn't that
crazy?
And
I didn't apply, but I also didn't really want to go at the time.
Right.
Like, I didn't really want to go. And honestly, as you all know, like, was a really stressful time for me. It was like figuring out where I wanted to go to school. And I think that, I mean, you introduced me into to Newhouse in the first place as well.
I did.
Because Nick Budabin and like whoever else at Harpo came. Shout out Nick.
Yeah,
you're looking for Nick. There are plenty of people.
That's an inside joke.
There are plenty of people at Harpo that I think graduated from Newhouse, and there's plenty of people in that in like the entertainment industry that's from Newhouse. And I think you wanted that for me, which is great. And I still love it.
You wrote
I talk
that
about
letter to yourself in the eighth grade,
in eighth grade,
right?
But that's the thing. I think I
tell
keep...
me about that.
Okay, I wrote. I said I think like I there was a this letter that I wrote to myself in eighth grade for myself.
It was what all the kids
for
did
a high
at
school
his,
graduate.
At his
and I remember
grammar,
I was actually having a really bad day that day. I skipped school that day. It's
oh,
a
thanks
long
for letting
story.
Me know.
No, I was with you. You knew I. You knew I didn't
you
go to school. It's a long story.
What?
But I
did
not.
Did you fake sick? I don't remember.
It's a long story. It has to do with EMMA. But whatever.
Do you think okay, people listening to this can't
spell? You didn't
whatever.
Meet
it's a long
EMMA
story.
In the eighth grade.
I'm talking about my senior year of high school. I was having a really bad day, and we picked it up from our old house.
Right.
And I read it. Was, I just said in the letter, I think I want to go to Syracuse right now. But that's what I just said at that moment.
He
I remember
also said something else.
Like, there's tons of things. Yeah, I was like, I hope you have a girlfriend right now. And I didn't. But I did in like a month later, which is
and
nice.
And you said something else. But you don't have to share that.
Stop.
What was it?
Whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Move on. Oh, I think I know what it was.
Okay. Anyway. Let's move on. Next question, Mom?
Okay, next question. How's your love life?
Next
not
question.
Great.
Okay, you can't ask all
okay.
three of that.
I'm not. Just, okay. So
we might be excelling in other things, but that one maybe not. So
how did me working for Oprah impact your life? Carly?
I think in a huge way because, well, first of all, I work for a talk show now, so I feel like it kind of is similar things. But Oprah was just a huge part of our lives, whether we were at the studio or we were watching it on TiVo at home in our basement.
TiVo.
Like, every episode was on TiVo. But I think her, she had such an impact on our lives, her mantra or whatever, her impact was instilled in everything we did and the people that we met and the people that we were around in our childhood. Like, I think where we were raised, I don't think a lot of people had access to the stories and the people and
the diversity
and the cool experiences. Like, I just don't think that people that we knew growing up had that. And I think that made us
did
a little
you feel
different.
Yeah.
But in a better way. I'm so grateful for that because I don't think I would have wanted to.
I don't know. I think that, like, you know, there was no one
we were just exposed.
From Glencoe. Yeah, we were a little bit more exposed. I feel like, I mean, no one in Glencoe was, I mean, there's a very small population.
That was
of
the
people
town where
Glencoe
I raised
that.
Our children. My husband and I raised our children. So the wealth of richness and diversity, Marin and the excitement. I mean, listen, I'll just say this. Marin and Carly were like, yeah, I want to see Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift. I mean,
Chris Brown, Usher.
I mean, I write about
Mary-Kate
and Ashley. I had the whole town there for that. I read a whole thing about Justin Bieber and Carly. It was one of the most major stories I could ever imagine telling. And I write that in my book. But Marin and Carly wanted to come to the show because they wanted to see the celebrities. Billy wanted to come to the show to see the equipment and to work and get his hands on it.
It's a lot of different things. It's a whole melting pot of things that were at Harpo Studios. I also just think, I mean, to answer your question from my perspective, like, I just think it was a really cool job. Like, I just think it's a cool job, and I think it's something I like to brag about to my friends all the time. It's like talking about how my mom worked for Oprah, and they're always like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, I think it's a really cool thing, and I think it's a really revolutionary, it was a revolutionary program, you know, for television history, and everything that went into that show was legendary. And we were talking about the other day, like, how, you know, the episode with, you know, giving away the cars was like such a momentous, like, it was such a, you know, it really set the tone for talk shows and, like, you know, doing deals with, you know, it was a very, very, very cool episode.
It ruined talk shows because I worked on other talk shows since, and everyone expected
all of our holiday
a
shows
car, or at least a gift card. So while it was the greatest, one of the hardest and greatest days ever in television history for those of us who worked in the building, and we worked pretty hard on that one. It also definitely changed the landscape of television talk shows. But since you brought that up and the impact Oprah had, I'm sure, Maren, you have another thing to add. But what's so cool is Maren being my oldest, I was able to bring her to work sometimes. And
a lot of times.
Yeah. And she was very smart. And one day we were working on the weekend and we needed to find people to book for the studio audience for the car show and people who needed cars. So I'll let you tell that story.
Well, yeah, it is kind of great. I mean, just backing up, even talking about how we spent so much time there. It was just normal. And it is crazy that we would, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, did other people bring their kids there as much as you
did? Well, because I started working there in 1987. And I was one of the first few producers to have kids. There was Ellen had kids and Mary Kay had kids and Diane had kids. But I think, I mean, I'm sure there were more, but like we were the ones that had kids. And then everybody coming in after us was younger. So I was one of the older people in the office.
Yeah.
So yes, you got way more privileges than the other kids.
And we also had a very lenient mom, because I do remember that anytime we wanted to go to work with you, whether it was to do something cool just to see a show or someone we wanted to see, I honestly one time wanted to go because people who were not even the A-list characters on Laguna Beach were coming in the audience. You let me skip school. Right. They weren't even on the show. So it was crazy.
I remember that.
It's really embarrassing, but I'm going to admit that.
I skipped school I skipped field hockey practice to see the Mike Douglas show that my mom invited me to. I clearly carried that on. And look where the three of you are sitting today.
Yeah, because you skip school.
Skip school time.
Want to tell my story about the car show. Sorry, I got off topic. But that was pretty crazy, especially because it's such a momentous. Billy doesn't know this story probably. I was not there, but I went to work with mom, I guess, over the weekend. I don't remember that. And she was working a lot and you didn't even really tell me why, but you gave me, I guess this is how you did it at the time. You gave me a stack of papers.
Yeah, we like to print.
And of emails or however people were writing in. And you were like, can you just read through some of these and pick out a few good ones where you think that people would deserve something
How
really
old
big?
Were you?
I don't remember if you told me it was a car.
Well, the car show was 2007?
I was probably
producer.
Middle school.
I need a producer.
I'm here.
She's there. Carly, my producer. We'll get back to you in a second.
I was probably in middle school.
Yeah, you were probably 12,
13. Yeah, I was young. But I didn't really understand what it was for, and I went through them and picked out some people for you and who ended up being there.
In the audience. Well, one in particular, because, you know, we were also working with our affiliates. So if there was an audience member that was coming from L.A. or New York, we would let them know. And you found someone from L.A.
Oh, 2004.
Great. Yeah.
Oh, 2004.
2004 was the car show? Wow. How old were you? I can't do that.
Don't make
math.
Me do fast math.
I was 10.
Producer, 12. Get on the calculator.
I was 10, so she was 12.
So you were 12. Right. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, that's just a crazy story that I forget sometimes when, as Billy was saying, it was such an iconic moment in television.
Right.
And you think back and you actually had a teeny tiny small part in it.
You sure did.
Which is crazy. But that was just one example of the many things that we were exposed to at such an early age that I do feel like all of us, I don't know if it was by choice, but we were exposed to it so much that I just feel like there was no other option when we were thinking about
it was your normal
stuff we wanted to explore in school or in internships and in our real world jobs. It was just like the entertainment and media industry was the only option. I never thought about other things.
Yeah, Carly.
Well, I think when you said about Billy, like you said, Maren and I only wanted to
go for the celebrities, which is definitely true. But like, I loved being in the studio too, just as much as you talk about being in a studio. So like, I loved going backstage and going by the green rooms and going, you know, down to the studio and walking around and being there when not just the audience was in there. So we would sit in rehearsals and we would sit like
sound checks.
I loved doing that. And I loved going behind and like knowing exactly where to go. And
you recently sent me a photo of you, of the sound check at Tamron.
Yeah, and I was felt like I was like 12 best, years old again, though. It was so weird.
Best part of the day when you're in sound check. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's nothing better.
But that's something that I love to do now is, and I think especially at Pickler and Benn, not so much right now, but I loved like being behind the studio, knowing exactly the quickest way to get to where you needed to be, like
with all shortcuts,
walking around with all the wires and all the like, I don't know what it, to the control room. Like, I still love doing that. And when I have my hiatuses, which is like either a couple weeks or months or whatever, I'm like, oh, I need to get back in the studio. And that first day you get back and you're walking around, it's like, I just love it.
So that's cool. That's got to come from the DNA. It's got to come from your experience, your environment. I mean, you clearly had that going. You have that all going for you. So that's there's no question that Love Speaks is running through your blood. And I will say this, that, you know, I got up at 5:15 every morning, left the house. You guys were in bed. You were little. I had the benefit of working for The Oprah Show before you all were born. And then I freelanced for 10 years while you were kids. And when Billy was four, I went back to work full time when the audience producer job came back available. And so I took that and I ran with it because it was my job. It was my seat. And so I would get up at 5:15 every morning and be at the studio by 6:15. And walking up that marble staircase, I felt so much purpose and joy and satisfaction and excitement and all of it. And of course, I talk about this all the time and write about it in my book, that the smell of Oprah's flat iron and hairspray meant it was show day, which is a day that we would be changing lives. And that was all I needed for my purpose. But I will say that I felt very selfish as a mother leaving you every morning for something that made me so happy. And while I was providing insurance for our family and health insurance and providing a nice paycheck for our family and
cool experiences.
Providing cool experiences, I still felt guilty. And Dad, you know, took up that other part. And I always believe that if you have two people who have jobs that, you know, aren't flexible, it's really difficult. So he was flexible in the morning. I felt guilty. But in the end, my hope is that I showed you my passion, my commitment, and that it served you well. Has it?
I think so. And I think it was just so normal. It seemed normal. It wasn't that normal in comparison, I feel like, to other people that we grew up with or other people that we knew didn't always have two working parents. But I felt like it seemed so normal, especially because you were so passionate about it. Again, it was like there was no other way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it gave us other things to, again, having a really successful working mother showed us a great path and going after what you want, I think, was important. I think it also weirdly gave us a little bit more time with Dad, too. And he was able to fill that role. I always laugh like he was our other mom because he did stuff in the morning with us and made our lunches and took us to work.
And been integral in that.
Yeah. And so I think that was important for us, too. And also, I think for the three of us to get closer, I think and I'm sure you guys did too, I felt like I kind of had to take on some other roles with Carly and Billy. And
definitely.
And so I think it was all good things.
Definitely.
I think I was always just so proud of you as a daughter because you worked so hard and you loved what you did. And like you asked before too, you were like, did that intimidate you? Yes, it definitely intimidated me. It was like, my mom is this badass. Can I say that?
Yes.
Badass woman who's working and just making a difference. But it made me really proud, and it made me want to do something with my life, and especially as a woman, made me want to have a career and be successful and try to figure out what I want to do too.
And you're doing it.
Yes. But I think
there were times where it was also hard, where it was like, you know, mom is working. And I remember on my like fifth birthday, you weren't home. Or my fifth grade. I came home and I don't know why I got so sad. And I went up to my room and cried because you weren't there.
I'm so sorry. But
I'm showing both sides. I'm saying like there were parts
it's
where
it's never easy.
It was hard. But there are also times now where I've had producers who have young kids,
right.
And they talk about how hard it is. And I always remind them, I say, as a daughter of someone who worked
you can just
like
call yourself a survivor. That's okay.
No, I'm just saying, I remind them every day to, yes, make them feel a little bit better. But I'm like, I was so proud of my mom. And I thought what she was doing was so cool that you don't have to worry that you're here. It's okay.
Yeah.
Because they're going to look up to you so much.
So you're using your story to help others.
Yeah. Because when they're, you know, when they're in it and they're like, I need to go home to my daughter. It's really hard. I tell them.
But you,
it's okay.
I don't know how you did it,
and I don't know how they do it, and it's crazy.
Yeah, really, I was going to say, because I don't think we've said this either, is that you also made yourself available so much, and I still don't know how you did that to all the big moments, and still,
Well, because I had a great team, and so if there was a moment that I needed to be home, I'd look at my team, I'm like, okay, and they had my back, plus Oprah is, you know, like, I mean, please, how can you work for a greater boss who not only instills all of this, you know, passion and wisdom in you, but also gives you time off. You know, we had 11 weeks of paid vacation.
That does not happen in the summer.
Oh, 11 weeks, and then we had all of December off, and it doesn't happen. I mean, we worked those hours, trust me, because we were working 17-hour days and the, all of that, but that it was really lovely. And I will say one thing, that when I came home, we had a December, you know, holiday party one year, and she announced, and you know, just like she did, just like Oprah did at the show with her big reveals for the audience of surprises, she did that to us, her employees. And we were just like, oh my God, and you just can't even imagine. And she revealed a trip that she was taking all of us to Hawaii. And I came home that night beside myself. I called you all into the front hall. I'll never forget this. We were living at 240 Fairview. And I said, I am here to tell you that because of my job and the person I work for, we are all going to Hawaii for a week. And I will tell you, that is the gift. We would go to on a cruise to the Mediterranean years later for 2 weeks. But that was the gift of me being able to tell my kids and my husband, I know I'm away a lot, but guess what? Because of who I work for, this is what we're getting. To me, that's a gift that just was very, very powerful for me as a mom.
And a lot of fun on the trips.
And I want to say, Billy was the youngest when you went back to work. And I remember actually when you got the call, we were like in the car in a parking lot. And you were like, I'm going back to work.
We were going, Diane Hudson called me.
Yeah.
And it
and
was,
I got,
and they,
I was sad.
Yes. I was, my stomach was in knots.
Because Billy was really young. I just want to hear what Billy has to say
about
that.
I actually was just going to say, like, I don't really think it. I mean, my memory of being a kid is really hazy. I just like I don't know. It's hard to really reflect on things like that. Even though I actually do remember that, I vaguely remember that memory of you informing us about Hawaii. But I was gonna say I didn't think of it any differently. Like obviously, I had friends that had mothers that were, you know, stay at home moms that didn't have jobs or whatnot, but. Sorry for saying whatnot.
He's so mad at me.
But I don't think of it any differently. And I think that I was very intrigued by your job and like and to have the opportunity to be in that space and see you fulfill your passion. I think I would have been like, if hypothetically, like you didn't have that job and you still had that passion, I would be really unfortunate.
Oh no!
It'd be really unfortunate if you didn't have that job. Oh. I'd be really sad. I'm obviously incredibly happy that.
Boring.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
It's really funny because when they called me, I had been freelancing for 10 years and I had been talking to them about being a producer, but I didn't even like being a producer when I was there. I don't ever want to be a producer because I can't handle when people cancel. So now Carly calls me and says, they canceled. And I'm like, oh, don't call me. I don't want to hear about it.
I try not to tell you, but
it's what gives me anxiety when people cancel and you have nothing for your live show. So when they called me and said, and we were driving the parking lot to Centennial Ice Rink, and they said, we have this job for you. We don't think you're going to want it. It's kind of not, you know, it's kind of beneath you or something like that. Audience supervisor. I was like, that is the exact job I want. So I think within 2 weeks I was back at work. I hired a babysitter that, you know, was basically a stranger to us. And guess who left work 3 hours after entering work on her first day at Harpo Studios? Me, because I had shingles. My mom was in town to help do the transfer of all of this, or transition of all of this. But I gave myself shingles because I was so freaked out that I was leaving my babies to a stranger that I ended up having shingles. So this is, like I say, it is not easy. No, Beata was when you were babies. But anyway, we love Beata. It's hard. It is hard to leave your babies no matter what. And people do it every day, even for jobs that they're not passionate about, which is really tough. So for me, no violins out for me because I was selfishly loving and doing what I wanted.
Yeah, but I do think, I think you and any moms out there who are working, it's crazy. I do not have children, of course, but I work a full day and I come home and all I want to do is like immediately get in my pajamas.
It's like
get
in crazy. Bed. Yeah.
I can't even make dinner for myself sometimes. I'm so exhausted. So I think it's pretty admirable and crazy that you never made it seem that way. You would wake up so early every day, come home sometime. I mean, maybe not every single night, but a lot of times you would make dinner or come meet us and like stay up and then do it all over again. So
questions?
It was pretty amazing.
Questions? What environment sucks you in and pleases all five of your senses? Lightning round. Go. Carly.
Oh, my God. My lightning round. Oh, my God. Is that weird if I say
just
like,
one
the
environment.
Beach?
Nope. Perfect.
Billy. I just love the beach. The beach.
Come back to me.
Maren.
You know that mine's going to be weird.
Okay,
but
what is it?
The first thing that comes, Williams-Sonoma store.
Oh, perfect. I love that.
I love it there.
I'm just trying to
environment. One environment that pleases all five of your senses, sucks you in, and makes you want to be there all the time.
Does it have to be like a specific location or can it be like...
It can be whatever you want it to be.
I'll just say like a rehearsal space. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. What's the craziest advice I've ever given you?
Oh.
But I also would say Urban Outfitters. Sorry.
Definitely.
Oh, I know the inappropriate one.
Did you say the weirdest or craziest? I cannot answer that. I can't either.
What was the question?
What's the craziest advice mom is giving you that is PG?
You know what it is. I know what it is.
Do you know mine too?
I think it's the same thing. I still didn't hear the full question.
What is the craziest advice I've ever given you?
Ever given me?
Or best advice. How about that?
Crazy. That's
crazy.
A weird adjective.
Yeah, cross that out.
Best advice.
I mean, for me, I feel like you were not. I had a whole process doing and getting into the Page program that was crazy, but I hadn't really heard of it before. And I feel like you were the one that really talked it up to me and told me that it would be a great move, even though it meant moving to New York and not getting paid a lot of money and all that. But I feel like that advice of you supporting it and really pushing me through.
Do you remember making your presentation?
Oh, yes. You also really helped me with my presentation. So that was super helpful, obviously, because I was able to get into the Page program that completely changed my life. And I know we'll continue to do that. So I feel like that was great advice that you helped me.
The change of your life is the community that you have met.
Completely.
No question.
Best advice for me was probably, I'm guessing, like, you know, just pushing me to audition for Little Shop of Horrors as an eighth grader, like just pushing me to even go for theater at all throughout middle school.
That was to all mom. She was like, you need to
Billy would sit and watch YouTube videos of people singing, and then he'd sing and he'd sing.
That's
and sing.
Not, okay.
Yeah, you did. And then I finally looked at you and I go, why don't you do that. Something about that singing? And
I feel like I just sang a lot.
Audition.
I don't think I necessarily watched YouTube videos.
You watched YouTube videos all the time.
Well, of course, but not
that.
Of and then, people singing.
Yes,
I mean, like,
and then
watching bands.
He
and
would
like,
know. He would sit in the back of the car and he would know every word to every song that would go on the radio. And he would
but
sing.
I also remember him sitting in that den, whatever. And then when Adam was, who's someone that I knew because he gave me singing lessons, which was so funny.
I didn't know
as
that.
A gift that my sister gave me 1 year.
Because
I said,
that.
all I want is singing lessons. And so he was the director, and I was like, why don't you go and try out? And then
he sat down with me before the audition, which is really weird.
That like, sounds like an inside job.
That sounds like,
Mom, we had a whole piano lesson.
Oh, yes.
Like,
yes,
where he,
yes.
I was like singing with him, and then
yes,
I auditioned
you've never
later.
Done it before, right?
And I was
right.
like, not sure. And then he was trying to convince, I guess,
it was Seymour in so much of your music, and it just is, there's nothing that, if I am having a bad day,
it's because it's me.
And I watch. You singing suddenly Seymour. I am done.
But it was
so,
so
happy.
Sweet, and it was Billy was singing at home doing all this stuff. He was not didn't do anything theater before, and he tried out and he made
the lead
in the show, which
I've never been more proud of my life.
Completely like catapulted ever. Your. Life, I feel like, and yeah. your passions and
it was
hobbies.
Your moment.
It took a while, though, because I didn't really fully get into it probably until my junior
it's
year.
It's not supposed to happen overnight.
Yeah.
It was your moment. I think it was really your moment. And I will never forget your basketball teacher or coach. Sorry.
Your teacher.
Your coach. And I said, I forget his name now. And
Mr.
I was like,
Claiborne.
Yes, Mr. Claiborne. And I said, is there any way Billy can stay on the basketball team? And
Claiborne.
Do
you ask him that?
And do
just
the,
like High School
the,
Musical.
It was just like High School Musical. And he
is there any way that he can stay on the bench while he's also in the musical?
Exactly.
Seems pretty
Please
easy,
let
actually.
Him stay on the bench. And he said, there is no reason why anyone shouldn't get everything they want in the
wow.
eighth grade.
That's
what?
And I went, what?
I've
never heard
teacher.
Of this.
I
and
not,
so he
yeah.
said, absolutely.
He also, I think everyone that, because the year previous, I mean, this is so not relevant at all, but like the year before, like there were a lot of people that tried out and like half of those people made it. And then my eighth grade year, I think a lot of people were discouraged to actually try out. So only like 17 people tried out and everyone made it. Yeah. I remember that happening.
Oh, the basketball team.
Like the basketball
Got
team.
Got it. Yeah. I remember that. Okay. Well, anyway, that was your moment. Carly?
I'm not thinking of anything specific about best advice.
Okay.
Obviously, Lafayette, you really pushed
oh,
that
yeah.
one.
Lafayette College.
And But that actually kind of works for this because I feel like I always tried to go against you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially when we were
I
growing
feel
up. I was always like, no. Like, Mom, you're like, no, you're, this isn't right. I'm doing what I want to do. I didn't listen to anything you want to say. And in the end, you were always right. And
Aww.
You know when you say your mom was always right, I don't think I really realized that until I was about like 18 and I left. But I think not specific advice, but truly everything that you told us to do was in our best interest or what you thought was right. And it really always was or benefited us or was always right. So I feel like listening to your mother, I always say that to if I could give advice to younger people, it would be listen to your mom because she's always right. I mean, I made some bad decisions, and I feel like you're always right. And
well,
I didn't listen to
and
you.
And my mom's always right, too. So it happens. It doesn't matter what generation you're in and how old you are.
Your mom does know
can
best.
Always see things because right now you guys are in the midst of creating your story and the midst of your journey. And Billy's like, I always wanted to be a film director, but like I'm a junior in college and I'm not really sure. And that's where it all starts bubbling up and growing, because when you think you're on one direction and then suddenly something comes and changes it, it's so cool. Or you stay on your direction, whatever it may be. So
like
you
Maren and I are also in
the midst.
We're
yeah.
in places where we could totally change our career.
Absolutely.
And we don't know exactly what we want to
Absolutely.
Do.
Listen, I've changed my career. So I get it. Like, I get that. I know that it isn't always easy being my child because I'm very extra. And I sometimes think I'm your age. And I sometimes say things that are completely not only inappropriate, but cross boundaries. And I apologize for that. But I think it does make for some fun. I think you guys wear a lot of badges and a lot of scars. And in doing that, I wrote a book. And I know the book was really hard for all of you. Some of you harder than others. But in the end, my book is a story that basically is a love letter to everyone in my life. And no story, we all have stories to tell. That's the purpose of the book, to tell your story, to connect with others, be a better speaker and a happier human. But we all have stories to tell, and the stories are not always a straight line, and they're not always pretty. And so when we tell that part of us that isn't always pretty, and I have a chapter in there that isn't pretty, and it's hard for you guys. I am grateful that I listened to you, because when I first wrote that chapter, it was pretty much out there. And the second time I wrote it, or third time, or fifth time, or eighth time, whatever time it was, I'm just grateful that I really heard you and listened to you, because it's a better story and it's more respectful to the people that I love the most, which are the three of you. So I'm grateful for listening. So I can teach you all the things in the world, but you're teaching me too. So I thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
How do we you have like a my, lot to offer.
How
know?
Do you like We're my comedy?
I'm kidding.
I'll be honest. I don't love it. I'm gonna be honest with you.
And I don't
you,
like you how to be honest. Never you don't gonna
do,
go see
You don't
in
do
person.
Everything perfectly, and neither do I. I think it's okay. I love that you're doing.
I think you're funny.
I love that. I think you're fun. Don't get me wrong. I think you're funny.
I just think I'm funny.
Oh,
I just
yeah.
think you get up. I think when you like put your head into the space of like being a comedian, I think you like. You become a different person. Like you put on like a different persona, which is a little bit like,
well, don't
maybe
most comics
less authentic than you.
Oh,
than,
so you think my comedy's not authentic?
No,
it's scripted.
It is a little scripted.
Scripted.
Well, you have to memorize it.
I'm glad that you
it.
Do what you're doing, what you love, and you're like.
I'd like to be less scripted.
I would never be able to ever.
It's terrifying.
Yeah,
ever,
I will
ever.
Give it to you that it's very ballsy. It takes a lot of
it's
guts.
It's so and ballsy and terrifying. Like I've never been more terrified in my life of anything.
You have a question in there. I think that do you like to public speak? Nope, yeah. Nope, and nope.
Do you, Maren?
I honestly don't love it as much as now that I don't do it as often when I have to. Sometimes I get really nervous, but in growing up, I feel like I wasn't that scared of it. Now I'm kind of on the edge. Like I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
I feel like I'm the
and
opposite.
And I do it. I've gotten better.
And yeah, by the way, public speaking better. Is completely different than comedy, because comedy is so different.
Yeah.
Okay. Billy, do you like to public speak?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know if I've really, like, had a full opportunity to, like, write a speech and then, you know, publicly, you know, say
it
in front of an audience. But I mean, I don't know in what context that would happen. Like, I talk, you know, I'm in a lot of committees and you know, clubs where I have to speak in front of a lot of people, I
Which
guess.
Is great
but, like,
practice.
Not. But not like, you know,
but
40 people,
it's
you know,
sometimes.
I mean, it's
great
whatever.
Practice.
I like speaking. I like performing and I like, you know, whatever. I've always wanted to do stand up. And that's actually there's a class in Northwestern that does stand up. And I've heard OK things about it, but I might take that.
But yeah, Billy, you speak in front. I mean,
well, if you were
a
girl, you could do femcom. But
what'd you say?
If you were a girl, you could take the femcom class, which I speak very highly of. Alex Kuman, who's my amazing comedian teacher, comedy teacher.
At Northwestern. I'm,
no, I'm, just in the life. City of Chicago.
Oh, well,
but
Billy,
I have seen Billy MC, and
yeah.
he's really
oh,
good
he's
at
great.
It.
You do MC. Billy, you're in, on stages constantly, all the time.
Yeah,
yeah
you're great.
But
at
it's
it.
Different than know, like publicly than public
have
speaking.
Have you ever had a pitch in front of a room of 50 people?
That's yeah, scary. You do that a lot.
That is scary. That's public speaking.
I'm
that's
out of my
Carly
comfort
does.
Zone
yeah.
almost every day.
Pitching to TV executives, and that's very cool. One thing I will say that we didn't mention is that somehow I've managed to not work with Carly yet. I had an opportunity at Pickler
Twice.
And Ben that I couldn't say yes to, and then I wanted an opportunity at Tamron, but they said no to me. So I have not worked with Carly yet.
I think that's for the best.
And
everything
I
happens for a reason.
Do agree. I haven't worked with Maren, but I've worked in the same building and became friends with all of her friends and thought we were going to all be going out to drinks, but that didn't work.
Nope.
I want to write a book about like what happens when your mom shows up at work. So when I worked at NBC and Maren was at NBC and, you know, I split my pants at one day at work.
That was awful.
And it was I was at the Today Show and my ass was hanging out of my pants. I could not move from my desk. I was laughing so hard. I called Maren. I was like, Maren, you have to go to my apartment and get me a pair of pants and bring them to me now. And what did you say to me?
Well, it was unfortunate because at the time I was an executive assistant for two people. So I never left my desk.
Couldn't.
Very rarely. And I think it was an okay time, but I just hung up the phone,
you?
Went to your apartment very quickly. Your dog, our
right,
dog,
Gracie,
Gracie was
your
there.
Dog.
She freaked out. She ran down the hall. I was like, I don't have time for this, Gracie. And like literally basically threw her back at the apartment, brought you your pants. And
you threw them at me.
I threw them at you. And you just like were laughing and just wanted to chat. I was like, this is not funny to me. And
I just left.
So basically, Marin covered two executive phones, and the phones for two executives.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you need to cover me and my ass. So you ran away and be from the phones for 5 minutes.
It was not hustled, 5 minutes.
20 minutes. Hustled and brought me and threw me my jeans so that I didn't show Al Roker my butt. But thank you so much, because Al Roker's office was across from mine. But thank you so much for that. And I know that it's not easy when your mom shows up to work. Okay, before we go, the thing that is exciting you the most right now, it doesn't have to be professionally or anything. What's exciting you? What gets you up in the morning like, ooh, ooh, ooh?
Alexis? No, you just sounded like Alexis.
Oh, Schitt's Creek. I thought you were going to say Schitt's Creek. Ooh, me too. Schitt's Creek. Schitt's Creek wakes me up in the morning. I want to see more of it.
Okay, what's exciting
even though
me
the season's over.
Is that I've been in New York for 6 months. I never ever thought I would ever live in New York City. I told myself when I was 6 years old that I would never live there. But I think what's exciting is that now I'm in a new city. I think I need to explore it a little bit more. I feel like I explored Nashville so much and I knew everything about it. I don't know anything about New York still, I feel like. But what's exciting me is that I'm there right now.
Cool.
And I could do anything, whether I continue my job. I mean, we have a season that ends in June. I could stay. I could not.
Yeah. So
I
falling could do in love with New York. Else. Seeing New York your way.
And yeah.
Billy?
As much as I like to tell myself that I can do a million things at once, it's like it's pretty impossible, especially with one of those things being theater, because when I'm in a process, like the rehearsals take up so much of my time that it's pretty much impossible to do other things. Mm-hmm. So I've been like really like recently out of the element of doing a lot of film projects, and it's been hard because like that's what I'm pursuing and that's something that I think is a big passion of mine, even more so than theater. I was in two shows this past quarter and now I won't be in a show next quarter, which I'm really excited about. And I'm going to be a gaffer, which is cool. Like the lighting director on a set for 2 weekends. And then I'm going to be a first assistant director for one of my friends in my a cappella group who's also doing like these two like big projects that are going to be really cool. I'm also going to be directing a night school episode, which is a music video.
Which is truly your passion.
That's a really cool thing that I'm really excited about. We're shooting that in a barbershop that I secured the location for. I don't know if we're going to have an audience.
Oh, it's a close set.
You don't want her in the music video.
I have three like big sets that I'm working on next quarter, as well as like being on set for sketch television stuff. And like, I'm just doing a lot more film next quarter.
If anyone's
really
listening and has an internship, a possibility in production for Billy Loveman,
please help me.
At Liv Love Speaks, DM me, slide into my DMs and get this boy hired. Marin Loveman, quickly. What's exciting you besides the Williams Sonoma store?
That excite me every day. I haven't been in one forever. I think it's more recently has been giving me more anxiety trying to figure out kind of what I want to do next. I've been kind of comfortable living in the same place and doing the same thing for a few years now, but I feel like it's actually a little bit more exciting trying to think about what I want to do next and it could be anything. I know. It's kind
so
of exciting.
Cool.
But
so cool.
Like, you could be anywhere. You could do anything.
Yeah. Right.
I think that's really exciting.
And you've been stepping out of your comfort zone with searching and looking. And I love that.
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks.
So last thing. First of all, thank you guys so much for being here today. I really appreciate it, for you saying yes to your mother's invitation. I always ask people, what is it that you love about yourself the most? I know that's a really hard question. For me, I'll just say what I love about me is my ability to relate to others. What is it that you love most about yourself? Maren?
Me. I think it's kind of similar. I think I'm a very caring person, and I care a lot about my family and my friends, and I like to be the person that's there for them, and that's kind of the most important thing to me. And I feel like I am a constant in a lot of people's lives, and I think that's what I like most about myself.
Marin is also super bougie, which makes us laugh so hard. And we call her, we have all of our family. She likes fine things. So
you know what? I
she
do.
Likes
Sue
the fun
me.
Of things in life.
Sue me.
Sue me.
Okay.
Who
Billy,
doesn't?
What do you love about me?
That's your favorite thing about
I
me.
I love that you're bougie. 30 seconds, Billy. What do you love about yourself?
I like that I'm pretty weird.
You are so weird. Enough said.
Yeah.
Weird. You're so weird. And now your weird sister, Carly. What do you like about yourself, Carly?
Well, this is a tough one.
Because you have so many things?
Because I have so many things that I love about myself.
Most self-deprecating person ever.
You know what? I'm going to go for it. I love that I'm crazy. Yeah. Keep people on their toes.
Yeah. We used to call her crazy eyes because she would make these weird eyes in the
You never
like
know
when
what you're
going
to get.
You never know which side of car is going to come out.
It's really, really fun living with her these days, too. It's just a toss
don't
up every day.
Don't make your lives more interesting, though?
You never
come
know
on.
What's coming your way.
No, I love that I'm a little weird, a little crazy, got a little crazy side to me. But other than that, I think I love how loyal I am to my family and my friends and the people that I love.
Totally.
Very loyal.
Favorite pop culture person? Go.
Right now?
Yes, right now.
Janelle Monáe.
Louis Capaldi.
Oh my God.
Go ahead,
Mary.
So
he's my favorite person to follow on Instagram right
okay.
now.
Okay, Louis Capaldi.
Well, you know I'm obsessed with the royals, so yeah. really any of them. I'm a big Meghan and Harry fan. George, obviously.
Obsessed.
Archie now, too. But my new obsession might be that little kid in Jojo Rabbit,
oh,
to be honest.
He's so cute.
I can't stop thinking
he's
about
so
him.
He's so cute. Oh, he'll be at the Oscars.
Yeah, I know that's not really
part of your future. I cannot wait to see him
Yorkie,
walk down the red
right?
carpet.
Well, I'm talking about Yorkie, but also the lead guy in Jojo Rabbit
amazing.
Was nominated, Jojo.
For what?
For Best Actor against
for Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Mom, who's yours? Yeah.
Well, this will be after the Golden Globes and all of that, but whatever.
Who's your
whatever.
Favorite pop culture person?
Oh, yeah, my goodness. It's
look
so
how the tables
hard.
Have turned. What is
say,
it from The Office? Look how the turn the tables.
I'll just say Lizzo. I'm obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
I love her.
I also love Reese Witherspoon. She's like
oh, she's
idol,
so cute. She's so cute.
Her.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Your love
Thanks,
speaks.
Mommy.
Thank you, my children. You've blessed me with so much. I pray for you every single day, and I thank God for the gift that he has given me, and that is all of you. Amen.
Love you.
Okay.
Church.
Thanks for having us.
It's church.
Oh,
love you guys.
Or
bye. Bye. Thank
or
you.
Both.
Or both. All of it. All of it. Love you guys.
Love you
love
too.
You.
I have loved speaking with you today, and I want to speak with you more. So follow me on all of my social platforms at Live Love Speaks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you want more stories like the stories we speak here on the Love Speaks series podcast, go to lovespeaks.com and pick up a copy of my new book, Speak. Love your story, your audience is waiting to step up your speaking game and your human game. Check out my blog while you're there.
Sally Lou Loveman is a mom, speaker, author, former audience producer for The Oprah Winfrey Show, and founder of Love Speaks. Each week, Sally Lou and her crew have a conversation about how love speaks in their lives and how it can speak in yours. From kindness to composting, no topic is off limits. If you need a community to kickstart your heart, you need the Love Speaks series.
Thanks for listening. Your Love Speaks.